We're doing Chazon Ish, Emuna u'Bitachon. The Chazon Ish told us that one of the greatest ways a person can develop their traits is through adherence to halacha. And the Chazon Ish had said that when one is careful to do the details of halacha, then that develops within a person character traits that we want to develop. The Chazon Ish said the alternative is not really available. The alternative of challenging oneself and standing up to the challenge, that's not the way we recommend going. A person should always avoid challenges. You never know what will happen. So then how do I develop myself? My challenge should be growth and perfection. In application of what the Chazon Ish said, I got a phone call 20 years ago from a young man who is today a father on his own. He's a Rebbe today. But 20 years ago, he was a kid. Before Bar Mitzvah, he was about 10, 11 years old. And he said, I'm thinking to stay the recesses inside to learn. I want to learn so much. I want to stay inside recess instead of going outside during the break. I want to stay and learn. And his parents disagreed, and he asked me, I used to learn with him one-on-one, he asked me to talk to his parents to convince them to let him learn Torah even during the break. So I said to him, are you learning Torah not during the break? During class time, are you learning Torah? He said, sure, why? I said, because I think before you think about taking your break time off, you should think about being focused when you're learning, making sure you understand everything you learn accurately and correctly. Work on improving quality before improving quantity, because you need the break. You're 9 years old, 11 years old, however old he was, I don't remember. Said, you need the recesses. I don't want you inside during recess, but you want to grow? Grow in quality. Grow in your focus. Grow in your understanding. Grow in your memory, remembering what you learned. Work on that, and you will have really grown. Chazon Ish says part of growth is working on the details, getting it accurately correct. And when we work on developing that, then we're also developing our character. We're continuing in the 10th section of the 4th chapter. V'im dikduk ha-din min ha-metaknin shel ha-midot. And if working on the details and getting it accurately correct is part of or a tool towards perfecting our traits, our character, azivata dikduk, so then by contradistinction, when a person forgoes the details, himina mafsidot, that is one of the great detractors, et ha-itpatchut shel ha-tikunim, of developing perfection in our personality. Very often a person can say, I did it. Did I do it? I davened. Did I focus? Well, in other mitzvot, there's a discussion about whether intent is integral to the mitzvah. Your parent asks you to do something, you help them out, you do the shop, and you don't have in mind that you did it for the sake of the mitzvah of kibud av va'em. So is that integral to the mitzvah? You did it because they asked you, but you weren't thinking about the mitzvah at the time. So that's a discussion in Talmud and in Halacha. How integral is the intention? I am hereby doing a mitzvah. But in prayer, without intention, what are you doing? You're talking before your Creator and you have no clue what you're saying. Suddenly you find yourself bowing and, oh right, I'm at modem. Or am I at modem? Where am I? When a person forgoes the details, so then he's also forgoing the growth that the mitzvah affords. In dealing with the details and getting it right and getting it accurately right, a person benefits from the mitzvah. A person shows up on time for davening. A person focuses during davening. A person does the mitzvah accurately, correctly. It will affect him. A person pays his bills on time. A person pays his worker on time. He becomes a different person. A person is honest when he sells his car. You know how hard it is to be honest? You're selling. You want to sell. You want to be honest. Ki ze she'oseh ha-mitzvah u'poresh min ha-isurim b'derech hergel al-arov lo ne'elam imenu ki yesh beze dinim rabim. When a person is doing the mitzvos, adhering to the Torah out of habit, ordinarily he knows there are details, uvechol zot, and nonetheless, monea et atzmo, melavo lifnei chacham velishol. A person holds back from going to the chacham and asking his halachic question. Why don't you check out what the halacha is? A laziness. Ve'en safek. And undoubtedly, shemit laveimo min amidot ha-me'akvot oto b'zeh. There are certain characteristic flaws that hold him back. If I have to ask, that means I have to show that I don't know. If I show that I don't know, I've developed within myself the desire for knowledge, the honesty, the integrity. So when I adhere to that detail of halacha, let me verify the halacha. I'm not only verifying that aspect of halacha. I'm developing within myself other details. I'm developing that honesty. And when a person says, it's good enough. So what a person is really saying is, I've come to terms with my natural inclination, that's how I'll do things. Neged drishot ha-musariyot. And then what a person is really saying is, that my habit will govern my behaviors over my values. What should govern my behavior? My values. But when I say I won't verify what I really should be doing here, I'll just do it. So then what I'm really saying is that habit will overrule. He says you should know. You're just strengthening the weaker side. The side you don't want to strengthen. You're strengthening your weaknesses. So if the Chazon Ish had developed the previous two sections, the idea that by verifying and adhering to the details of halacha, we're developing our character, the Chazon Ish is now saying, and when we choose the opposite, when we choose not to verify. Now, this can be relevant in a myriad of instances. Let's see. A person buys food, and he doesn't check whether he has to check that food. So you buy rice, and you say, the rice must be good. Who said it must be good? I have a friend who's a rabbi in the army. So a young recruit came to the kitchen, and he starts making rice. And this older rabbi walks in and says, did you check the rice? So the young recruit says, what's there going to be in rice? So he says, you have to check the rice. So the young recruit says, what's the big deal? So the older veteran rabbi sticks his hand deep into the bag of rice and lifts up the rice and holds it in front of him. And he sees it moving. He sees things, okay, the army buys sacks and sacks and sacks of rice and stores them. And there are definitely going to be instances where the rice there is not going to be the same. It ain't Uncle Ben's, yeah? It's not the same rice you're buying in the store. So the young fellow said, what's the big deal? But if he'd bothered checking, what am I supposed to do here? What's the rules over here? But it's easier to say, what's the big deal? We have examples of this all the time. You know, when I read Mishle, Tehillim, I read with a tune. So I researched that tune for over a decade until I found a recording. Rabbi Cohen made a recording. Rabbi maybe Binyamin Cohen made a recording. And I found the tape. I listened to the tape. Actually, I didn't find the tape. My brother found Rabbi Jeremy Weider of YU who had the tape. And Rabbi Weider was nice enough to lend us or transfer for us the recordings. I listened to the recordings and I learned how to lane the trap of Iyov Mishle and Tehillim. So students would always ask me, we also want to learn. And I'd say, you can listen to the tape because the tape says you're allowed to copy it and disseminate it to people so that they learn how to read Tamei Amid. So I said, I could give you a copy. And then people would say, well, why don't you post it on your website? And I would always say, I don't have the rabbi's permission to put it on the website. And they would come back and ask, but he says on the recording that he allows you to copy it for other people to learn. And I would always answer, copying doesn't always mean that you can post it on a public website with millions of listeners. It's two different things. But I'd always tell the guys, if you find him, and I don't know how to find him, but maybe Rabbi Jeremy Weider and YU could tell you how to find him, because he gave me the recording, you know. If you find him, you could ask him, and if he approves, I'll post it. So finally, after many years of having this conversation, one student decided he's doing it. So he tracked down Rabbi Jeremy Weider, and you know the student, I'll tell you after class, who, you know who it was?
Yeah.
Okay, so he tracked down Rabbi Jeremy Weider, and Rabbi Jeremy Weider gave him the information, and he tracked down the rabbi who's recorded on the cassette. And I still have the email where he emails back this student of ours. He says, your rabbi is right. I do not want it on the website. And I appreciate his thinking to ask, because I meant you could copy it, but if I thought it would be posted, that's not what I meant. So all the years I kept having this gnawing feeling, and I said to myself, no, it's not right. Logically, I should get the permission. So then I made my own teaching. I made a class here. Now it's available online. You could learn how to learn it, because I gave my own class. I didn't use his system. I used a different system, and you could learn how to learn Tehillim. Tehillim, Iyov Mishlei. But again, it's very tempting to be lazy and just say, why not? And if you verify and you analyze what the halacha is, you realize there are details, and those details force you to have a tenacity for halacha. They force you to be clear in your learning. They force a person to many developments of character traits. And that's what Chazon Ish is saying, that working with the system of the Shulchan Aruch is the greatest way to develop our personality. And when a person forgoes it, so then he's letting the habits take control of his life. And what ends up happening is that the Shulchan Aruch actually weakens him, because he's misapplying the Shulchan Aruch. He says, yeah, what difference does it make if it's this or that? There could be a world of a difference. And instead of using the Shulchan Aruch as a tool for perfection, it becomes a tool for detraction. And then a person says, but I read books of Musar. Right, but in your day-to-day, you're doing things that are detracting. I left the store yesterday. I had 3 bags of oranges. 2 bags filled with oranges, and a 3rd bag which I intended to fill with oranges, but I could only find 1 orange that I thought my kids would eat. So the 3rd bag had 1 orange. I left the store, and as I'm taking out the bags from the wagon, I said to myself, I know I weighed the 2 bags, but that 1 bag with 1 orange might have stayed hidden under my stuff. Could be I never paid for it. So I ran back and I gave him the orange. I didn't have time to stand in line and get him to pay for 1 orange. I gave him back the orange. The detail, is it a big deal? You could say, I remember saying to myself, if I came home and I wasn't sure, then we have a concept, maybe you have to bring me proof that I didn't pay. Logic dictates I should have paid, but I didn't come home, I'm still on their grounds, who said it's mine? Right now, they're muhzak, it's their orange. If I'm at home and it's my orange and I have to look back and say, did I or didn't I pay? Why should I question myself? I try to pay for everything that's in the wagon. Why should I think not? But now I'm standing right here, and I'm not sure if I paid. So I went back. I gave them back the orange. And they looked at me funny. I gave them back 1 orange. I said, you know the story. It was in a separate bag. They looked like, okay. But when we work on that, we walk away a different person. I'm a person who tries to be honest. I once got a delivery, and they stuck into the delivery. I used to do woodworking as a kid. So they stuck in items that I didn't order. I called back the company. I said, I have here these 2 items. What should I do with them? They said, shipping it back will cost us more than the items. So I thought for a minute, and I said, well, I could use those items. I said, okay, I'll pay for it. So they said, why? They said, why did you even call? We wouldn't know they got into the box. I said, for $3, I could be a thief or an honest person. It's worth $3 to be an honest person. All right, but how many times is it tempting to think, what's the difference? They're a big company. So what if I get this? Huh? Makes a big difference. I left my keys in the mailbox. I came back 10 minutes later and they were gone. So I started questioning, did I leave them in the mailbox or not? I spent the next 4 hours looking for those keys. I had all my keys on it. The next morning, someone was very nice, and they posted, I found keys. And I said to myself, it's very nice of the person. Had they been diligent the way the halacha says, they would have posted last night and saved me 4 hours worth of work. I started going, retracing my steps everywhere I went, looking for the keys. I said to myself, I was at the post box, but it's not there. In 10 minutes, it disappeared. So the person should have left me a note or posted. He did what was nice. He posted the next morning. But in the interim, I spent my whole night, I spent 4 hours looking for those keys. The halacha says you found something, you leave a note, you post a sign, you make sure people can find out and know. So the details of halacha, when we force ourselves to adhere to them, they develop us, we become a different person. V'gadol koach ha-sholel mikoach ha-mchayev b'yot ha-shilya rishona v'chayuv mechudash. He says a very difficult concept, which is, we find this concept in finance as well. He says, going downhill is more forceful than going uphill. This is a concept in many areas of life. He says, the default is having decrepit traits. How's a baby born? All he knows to say is, I want, I want, I want. He knows how to hit, he knows how to cry, he knows how to take care of his own needs. The idea of developing positive traits is a work, it's a lifelong work. That the nature of man is to be egocentric, to be angry, to be arrogant, that's our nature. We can work on perfecting our nature, we can work on becoming great people, but that's work. So the Chazon Ish says the strength to put a person down is greater than the strength that pushes a person, that propels a person forward. Because the nature, the default is we go down. You want to go up? That's, you gotta invent, you gotta create that. Now that's true in many areas of life. The simplest route that things take, the path of least resistance, is not the positive path. The positive path involves work. So the Chazon Ish says the same is true with adherence to Shulchan Aruch and developing our traits. V'kalutu rosh b'dikduk adin, asher kvanu lemafsid amidot b'chlaluto. And when a person takes the details of halacha lightly, I thought this place was kosher, but why didn't you check? I thought that you don't have to check this fruit or this type of food, why don't you verify? Well, that harms a person in a general way, that attitude. It gets even worse when a person says he carries the banner of a Yirei Shamayim, I'm a God-fearing person, and then he takes things lightly. He doesn't take the adherence of mitzvah seriously. As the Chazon Ish said earlier, when you see someone who's supposed to represent Torah doing something wrong, it carries a much greater weight. It hurts much more. V'chevlo behatafat lekach la'acherim al musar v'tikon hamidot v'leitim rechokot ulech tzechacham nishol b'kiyum mitzvah b'inyan prisha mi'isura. If you have someone who's preaching to people how they should be good people, how they should fix their traits, yet he doesn't ask shailos often. He doesn't go and ask his teachers often. He doesn't verify what the halacha is. But if I reveal that I have to ask questions, so then maybe people won't think I'm so great. So then I don't want to reveal that I have to ask questions. Because if a person, who's this type of person? A person who hasn't worked too hard to understand Talmud. When you work hard to understand Talmud, you understand that you don't understand. I had a fascinating conversation today. It was mamash enlightening to me. You ask a 3-year-old child, are you allowed to turn on a light on Shabbos? Everyone knows you're not allowed to. You ask a child, is a flame muktzeh? Everyone knows it's muktzeh. So I was speaking to a rabbi who I asked questions to, and I asked him, why is a flame muktzeh? Okay? We all know that a flame is muktzeh. The Talmud says that a lamp is muktzeh because it is the basis for a flame. Now what I was trying to understand is a radiator muktzeh? Because I know that there are halachic authorities that permit moving a lamp on Shabbos when you need a lamp to learn. So even though it's plugged in and there's a light bulb there, you're allowed to move it. I wanted to understand if those authorities would also allow you to move a radiator or a heating element what are those fans called? Space heater. Where you have a glowing hot heat element inside. So aside from the question of turning on the thermostat, let's assume it's on and you're moving it, won't make it change. Are you allowed to move it? Or is it like you're moving fire? So then I went back a step and I said, wait a second, why is fire mukta? I said, gee, I don't know. Sounds like a simple question. Everyone should know, right? Why is fire mukta? It's very obvious in halacha that fire is mukta, because the basis for fire is also mukta. You're not allowed to move a candlestick that had a flame on it going into Shabbos. That's clear in the Talmud. But wait, why is the flame mukta? Is the flame mukta because you could only do things that are prohibited on Shabbos with it? So then maybe the filament is not the same as a flame, even though we treat it as a flame in other areas of halacha, but maybe in the concept of mukta, it's not the same. So I stood there feeling like a dunce, and I said to the rabbi, who's younger than me, by the way, but he really knows a lot of Torah, and I asked him, why is a flame mukta? So he looked at me and said, gee, the Chazon Ish wrote a long, long piece trying to figure out the answer to that question. So then I said, oh, okay, so I'm not so stupid. It's a good question. But the question never dawned on me. And it took some guts to ask the question because I felt stupid asking the question, why is a flame mukta? So I don't know that piece in Chazon Ish. I haven't learned it yet. But when you work and try to learn, you realize there are real questions and you got to ask. There's more to learn and more to know. Ve'lo yagam ba'alacha, so a person who preaches but hasn't worked hard in halacha, v'kasho lo yagal lo yamatza, and if you don't work hard, you don't find the answers. Ve'im lo amal betorav lo ogal b'dikduk adin midotav lo nivchanu v'lo tkanu. Chazon Ish says if you don't work hard to know halacha, you can't reach perfection in your traits either. Bottom line, the development of traits is within the system. I'm a very kind person. Who said I'm kind in the right way? Talmud says sometimes even when you give charity, you hurt a person. We know that. I got punched in the face right here. There was a man who, the people before me, gave him charity. So when I left Shul, I gave him charity. So he waved me off. So I didn't understand what he was doing. He was a man, I think he was mute. I saw other people giving him charity, so I gave him charity. And then I saw that another person put a bill in his pocket. So I went to put the bill in his pocket. And he started punching me in the face. Mamash knocked me off my feet and kept punching me. So I walked away and I said, wow, what did I do? I don't remember getting punched in the face other than that. Maybe once, twice before that. But we all have, whatever. At any rate, but then I asked myself, on the one hand, you could say, there's nothing wrong. Other people gave him charity. Why should you think there's something wrong with it? On the other hand, the other people knew him, and they felt comfortable, and he felt comfortable with them leaning into his shirt pocket and putting in money. I didn't know it. I thought to myself, that's the norm, but I learned a sensitivity I hadn't learned earlier. That if the guy isn't willing to accept the charity in his hand, maybe I should not lean over and put money in his shirt pocket, even though everyone before me was. Maybe. I didn't have the concept. I wasn't ready for getting punched in the face. I mean, I got 3 socks. One to the throat, one to the face, and another one to the chest till I was on the ground. You don't expect that when you're giving someone charity. It's not, you're not on your guard, right? The Chazon Ish says, this is an old story. This goes back about a decade. This isn't like, don't worry, you guys should still be giving charity, okay? I don't see this fellow around here, and but I wouldn't lean over and put it in a person's shirt pocket, even if the guy before me did it. I learned my lesson. Chazon Ish says, when a person wants to grow in their trait, you got to work. If you don't work, you don't learn. It's a learning process, and learning the details is part of the process. And and if a person isn't willing to take a look at the details, I asked myself for a long time afterwards, what did I do wrong there? So you could say, you did nothing wrong. The guy socked you in the face. He's crazy. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's a detail there I didn't pay attention to. Okay, you live and you learn. Uvintiotava tiviyota rabanut v'chavodam dumem yisodei chaya v'ratzon childom. And what ends up happening is one of the most natural tendencies is a person's desire for honor and when a person's honor stems from their representing themselves as being knowledgeable, so then that honor becomes a fundamental part of their life. And then a person is challenged to admit that they don't know. I spoke to a relative of mine. I got smicha about the same year that he got his medical license. And I said to him, you know, one of the big challenges is that now that I have a license, I'm a rabbi, right? People think I know everything. They ask me questions and I say, I got to check. And they're like, hey, you're a rabbi. Aren't you supposed to know? He said to me, he has the same thing. And now that he has a medical license, people ask him questions and he says, I have to check. And they say, come on, you're an MD. Don't you know? It's a challenge. It's a challenge. You guys went to yeshiva. I'm sure you have relatives who ask you questions. And it's tempting to give an answer. It's tempting to hold on to that title, you know. But if you don't know, you don't know. And that's part of developing ourselves, the true person who I am. V'nafsho soledet b'sratak b'chvodo. And a person can reach a point where his soul feels burnt if someone scratched a little bit at his honor. I have one of my first classes here in the Mahon. It doesn't show up on the Mahon website. It was before there were Mahon cameras here. But it shows up on my website under special classes or Q&A, and it's titled Lollipops. That's the title of the class. And I told the story there how when I started teaching, so I was a teenager. I was just out of high school, and the kids were all calling me rabbi. I was their teacher. And I felt like, they can't call me rabbi. I'm not a rabbi. It's up to them I'm a rabbi, but I'm not. I'm fresh out of high school. So I used to walk around with lollipops in my mouth, and the idea was to remind myself and remind them not to take me seriously. I felt like if everyone's calling you rabbi, you start taking yourself seriously. I said, I'll walk around with a lollipop. You can't take a guy with a stick jutting out of his mouth. You can't take him too seriously. They didn't take me seriously. I didn't take me seriously. But that's part of it. We have to work on ourselves. If a person allows himself to take himself too seriously, so then if people say something that's a little bit offensive to him, he's going to go off the handle. And we all have this sensitivity, and we develop it. The older we grow, Rav Soloveitchik said, our other desires grow weaker as we age. Our desire for honor grows stronger as we age.
ומבלי משים מתכונן בקרבו דרך קיימת במהלך רוחו שלו ליתן כבוד גדול לחלק ההלכה החסר לו.
Now what can happen without a person noticing is that a person develops this attitude that he doesn't have such respect to halacha. He says, you know, a lot of people can know halacha, but do you know how to be a good person? Do you know how to be a kind person? Do you give charity? Are you a good husband? And people find excuses. Chazanish says it doesn't work that way. Real adherence to halacha develops you to be a kind person, a giving person, a patient person. Halacha is going to bring you there. And when a person doesn't have it, so sometimes he looks at it and says, that's not so important. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's a lifelong task. We learn, we develop, we grow.
And that attitude brings a person to a point where he says, why should I ask the rabbi a question?
Meaning, if I don't have it, so then I'm going to put it down. If I put it down and I say that knowledge isn't so important, so then I don't go and ask a shayla. But I have to ask a shayla.
ובכלל זה שלא להיות שואל תמיד אצל חכם, וסיבת היעדר הלימוד,
and because a person doesn't invest in learning, so then what ends up happening is he's not so careful about the details, and then he's not going to go and ask questions. You guys know that I don't think 3 days go by, and sometimes, I mean, if I could, not a day would go by. The only reason a day goes by that I don't ask a shayla is because I can't get a hold of the rabbi easy enough. If I could get a hold of it when I was living in this community, I would go every day to ask shaylas. Now, I have smicha for a decade and a half. 15 years ago, I got the license that theoretically I know something, right? And I could tell you that when I had the ability, there wasn't a day I wasn't asking shaylas. Today, that I can't access the rabbi so easily, so I try almost every day, and I only get through once every 3 days. And I have a lot of questions. A lot. There's a lot to learn. And I went to Rav Halberstam and Mesh Arim, and I went to other rabbis. And I still go. I don't think it's something to be embarrassed about. I think it's something a person should work on. If you learn, you have questions. If you try to adhere to halacha, you have questions. V'amsovav shav l'siba l'osif kilkul amidot v'l'arbot ashchatatan. And what was a result ends up being the cause that a person loses his traits. A person in having this attitude, I'm not going to ask a shayla. So then he comes full circle where it's self-destructive to his traits. V'chen mosifam suvav liot tziba, mosifam suvav liot chsor chalila. He says it's a vicious cycle. I can't ask a shayla because I know. And if I know, then I don't ask. And if I don't ask, I don't respect. And if I don't respect, I don't value. And if I don't value, then I become a less positive person. And the cycle keeps repeating itself. A person has to ask. A person has to say, I want to know the details. I want to know what's right. Now, I will add one point, which I found in my life is very helpful. It's called a notebook. Okay? It's a spiral and papers. Okay? And they're all attached. Ah, here, Aaron has one. Want to pick it up? Everyone will see it? Yeah. Okay. So what's the strength of a spiral? That the questions repeat themselves. And instead of going and asking every time, if you take notes, so pretty quickly you start having a summary of what you've been asking and the answers, and you can look up the question. Why should you ask the same question every year on Matzei Shabbos? Am I supposed to do Avdallah first or light Hanukkah candles first? Check it out. Why don't you just find out? You find out once, but by next year I'll forget. Is quinoa considered kidneyot or not? If I'm Ashkenazi, am I allowed to eat quinoa? And if my in-laws are Sephardi, can I eat from their dishes? Even though they eat rice, I won't eat rice at the Seder, but can I eat from their dishes? And can I invite someone to my Seder when they're going to eat soft matzah? So the questions repeat themselves. Just find out. You find out, you'll know. And you keep notes. If you don't write notes, then next year you'll be calling back with the same question. So, do I have to check my children's pants for shatness? And what if they're 100% wool? Do I have to check them for shatness? My wife just bought a scarf. Do I have to check that for shatness? And what about the bedding? What about the beds themselves? And if the mattress is just made of foam, do I have to worry that the lining is shatness, wool and linen together? Find out once. Write down the answer. You'll know the answer from now on. Do ties have to be checked for shatness? They say 100% silk. What could be shatness? The filler is sometimes made of linen. Fine, but where's the wool? The string that they sew it with is sometimes a wool string with a linen insert. Is that true for every country or just Spain? You find out, you know. These questions come up. They come up once. They come up twice. Can I use this sticket note on Shabbos? Find out the answer once. You know if you wrote it down. So the questions repeat themselves. The answers, if you write it down, you'll know long term. And again, we shouldn't be lazy. We should ask. There's a parenthetical note. We'll just quickly read it. Hadvarim amurim min nekudat halacha b'torat amidot v'chovat amitzvot v'tor avodah av mishpat ha'ish ha'prati asher kvar nit'ara b'chinucho mimei nehorav ve'en libo ro'eh acheret ra'uy ledunno la'anus asher zdonotav nasu lo kashgagot וראוי לאהבה ולכבוד על הטוב הנמצא בו, שדוגל בתורה ובאמונה, ומגדל בניו לתורה ועוד הרבה מן הטוב השורה עליו. It's as though the Chazon Ish added a footnote, as though he's saying there are so many people who are making this mistake, so let me just point out something to you. I said this as far as how you work on yourself. But let's say you see a person who, from the day he's been educated, all he knows is this way of life, where he doesn't ask questions and he basically does what his father does and he doesn't know that he should verify the details of halacha. So then the Chazon Ish says, look at him kindly. You see someone else and this is their habit and this is what they're used to, so they don't know any better. It's beyond their knowledge and comprehension. You should love them. You should honor the good that's in them. Remember that they do strive for Torah and being faithful people. They do raise their children to be adherent to Torah. And there's so much good within them. Chaznish says, I just spoke so harshly about people who must adhere to the system of verifying the details of halacha, but when you see someone who doesn't, there's still a lot of good in that person, and you got to look at him that way. That's like the parenthetical footnote Chaznish had.